Okay, welcome. Part two. You've already been welcomed several times, probably. And here's another one. On top of the encouragement to go to the gift shop and get your Bhakti Shastri books, I'm going to encourage you even further. Srimad Bhagavatam is a nice big set of books, like this big, maybe this big. And our subject matter this evening is going to be taken from that nice Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is Canto 5, where Srila Prabhupada is translated a description of the structure of the universe from the Vedic perspective. And I'm going to tell a couple stories where they're fooling around with their computer. When the fifth canto was first published, I had the good fortune of Srila Prabhupada visiting in New York, and then from New York he went to Boston and then Montreal and Toronto, and was heading here for Chicago, and a group of devotees were traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and they were asking him a lot of questions about the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, the structure of the universe. Because there are things in the fifth canto that are like shocking to people that have really bought into the materialistic conception of modern science about all kinds of things in relation to the universe and so forth. And many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were struggling with that shocking, contrasting description. And Prabhupada was patiently answering and patiently answering their questions and questions. And one of the devotees that was traveling with Prabhupada from place to place, Prabhupada was speaking strongly about confronting the materialistic conceptions of things, of material science. And then Prabhupada disclosed something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, listen carefully, that one of the greatest obstacles in, from the perspective of an acharya trying to bring the perspective of the world to a God-centered conception was the blind faith that people have in material science. I'll say it again for sake of emphasis. One of the things that Srila Prabhupada said to them was he was challenging so strongly, purposely, because it is the biggest obstacle in helping the world come to a theistic conception or God-centered conception, and that is blind faith in materialistic conception of modern science. No, I'll say it the other way around. Modern science propagates systematically an atheistic conception. And, you know, I don't like that. Prabhupada didn't like it either, but there's these listen to the mathematical equation. Everybody in the United States has to go to school. It's a law. If you're parents and you don't send your kids to school, you can end up in jail. You have to send your kids to school. It's compulsory. Plus, in school, because it's funded by public funds, you can't have God in the school because separated church and state. Equals, everyone is spoon-fed since little goo-goo-ga-ga kids, you know, with an atheistic conception. Compulsory. God is out of the schools. And you have to eat doses until you're sick. That's not nice. We don't like that. So one argument that we heard some person say, oh, well, you know, the theistic concept, that's for churches and synagogues and temples. But, you know, we can't have that in schools. We just can't teach it. It's compulsory to not teach it. And the other is compulsory, too. You got to eat it. It's awful. Spend that on over time, and you got a whole society of people that all they know is Darwinian evolution and Big Bang cosmology. Ask any eighth grader. They know the whole story because they get A's in their exams from saying it back again. Repeat after me. Yes, Big Bang cosmology, and then man came from apes and became, you know, became civilized. And the rest of it. The whole rest of the program. So the Vedic conception is quite different, and Prabhupada wanted an institute. He called it the Bhaktivedanta Institute of persons with the capacity, scholarship capacity, to get down in the trenches with the scientists, use their same language, use their same rationale and ideology, methodology, and say, excuse me, but this idea that you have isn't supported by evidence. Or as I was saying this afternoon, excuse me, sir, but your bucket has holes in it. Let's pour some water into this bucket and watch what happens. It all leaks out. Look at that. Let's do it again. Pour some water in. And there it goes. It all leaks out. My dear scientist, your bucket has holes in it. Now let's look at this other bucket that doesn't have holes in it. And let's pour some water in it. Let's see what happens. Hey, this bucket holds water. And that's part of the, I'm simplifying, it's part of the approach that the Bhaktivedanta Institute had to approach, take the approach, which is look at the thesis of, or theory of modern science, and show where it has holes in it, enough holes that the audience is ready then to look at a different model, the Vedic model. So I didn't have a copy of the book this time. Here's a copy of Forbidden Archaeology. Can you see it? It's right here in my hand. 900 pages. It's that thick. And here's the author of Forbidden Archaeology. And then there's another book that's the sequel. Do we have copies of that here? Human Devolution?
No, that's not.
The sequel is, the opposite of evolution is devolution, devolving. One is evolving, the other is devolving, and that is from the highest, most intelligent, superlatively capable persons, starting with Lord Brahma, the population of species and human species and varieties of life came down. That's the Vedic picture. Human devolution, or devolution of species. Cool, huh? So here's the author, and we invited him. We means a group of devotees here in the Midwest, ISKCON group of devotees, particularly those that are involved in college outreach. Some of the large universities here in the Midwest, USA, there are programs where there's the clubs that are called the Vedic Vision. What do you call that one here?
Society.
Vedic Society. They have a nice title. And they invited Dhruta Karma to come and present, you know, my dear scientist, your buck has got some holes in it. Presentation. And so this is for the devotee community, where the message ends up in the same place, but we've invited him to come and give you a little sampler of the Bhaktivedanta Institute work that he's been involved in, and that Prabhupada valued very, very much. And for years and years and years together, Dhruta Karma has been diligently working in this area of service to Srila Prabhupada and his Bhaktivedanta Institute. So, you're welcome, Drutakarma Prabhu.